We are very happy to be kicking off a new regular feature on the Roundtable this morning. It is entitled Ideas Matter, Checking In with the Public Humanities. It is our chance to do just that, check in with the Humanities Councils throughout our 7-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we welcome Plune Boricius, who is the Assistant Director of Mass Humanities. Before that, she managed the Women, Enterprise, and Society Project at Baker Library at Harvard Business School and taught in the History and Literature and Women's Studies programs at Harvard University and the Harvard Extension School. And it's a great pleasure to have her before us this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Joe. It's nice to meet you finally.
I know. We have spent so much time on the phone and through email. It's a delight to have you here and face-to-face. So I thank you very much for making the trek out on a somewhat miserable weather day. Also joining us, an old friend, someone who's been here many times, Sarah Auger is here. She joined the staff of the New York Council for the Humanities in March of 2002 as a grants officer. She was appointed executive director in April of 2007 after a successful effort to secure state funding. Before coming to the council, she was an assistant professor of German at Montclair State University in New Jersey. And it's a great pleasure to have you with us, Sarah. Thank you. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Joe, for having me back. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
You know, it's one of these things that we've been working on this for so long that I'm not quite sure how this all came about, but I believe it was ultimately your idea. Was it not, Plune?
I think it was, because I am a faithful listener of WAMC and your program. And I thought for a long time it would be a very nice idea to have a humanities counterpart to things like Editor of the Day and the weekly bookstore segments.
And so what we want to do and accomplish in this segment, and we'll be doing this every other week, right?
That's right.
Is on Fridays, is to talk what's going on in the Humanities Councils throughout our region. And we cover 7 states, and these are very active councils. And it is, give us a sense, Plune, of what it has been like just in the setting this up with them of because you all have similar missions, and yet you all have a different drum that you beat to.
That's right. Every state has a Humanities Council. And we are organizations that are funded through public and private funds. And we do work in the public humanities in various ways. We run broadly public educational programming. We fund humanities programming for nonprofit organizations. And so, whereas we all have different emphases and perhaps a little different combination of the things we do tend to do similar kinds of programmings, work with public libraries, run humanities programs in hospitals, and things like that. Sarah probably has a lot to say about that, too.
Well, yeah, I think generally we each sort of look at our state and the geography of it and the regions and the partners. And part of the reason that we exist is that Congress, in its wisdom in the early 1970s, decided that really you need public humanities in all regions of a state, not just your state's museum mile or counterpart thereof. So what is there for Schenectady? What is there for Buffalo? What is there for Plattsburgh? So this is really important for the state councils, and the way that our programs have grown is very organic, and it comes from tackling that problem of, you know, how do you make sure that people have access to humanities subjects, and that could be history or philosophy or ideas, ethics, and methods, which is basically reading and discussion, and in some cases also visiting exhibitions. So how do you make that into a program? And the solutions are varied and wonderful.
Let us, because we are kicking off this segment, and I mean, I have a lot of experience with this in working with both of you and with the councils of what you think is a simple thing can be a little bit difficult. And I just want to go over it with the listeners of how we define public humanities, of what that is, because just getting your handle on that, that's a huge unwieldy term that we try to tame and put into a box.
It's for us almost one of the hardest things we do. What are the humanities? to be exact, the humanities are those academic subjects that deal with what it means to be human, with the human experience. And they include history, literature, philosophy, anthropology, some parts of sociology, jurisprudence. There's a whole series of them. I'm probably leaving half of them out. The public humanities take the methods and the questions of and the knowledge of those fields outside of the academy and work with the public in dealing with some of those questions that people encounter in their lives. And it is not as simple as saying bringing history into things. Let's say we could take something really current, very current, in fact, the question of guns in our society.
Right.
You know, a huge and very difficult question that people really disagree on and very vehemently. And what the public humanities do is they take a topic like that and then take the methods and approaches of the humanities to work with people on it. So that a public humanist would not say, am I for or against gun control? And would perhaps not even just say, oh, well, what is the history of the Second Amendment and where does it come from? But a public humanist might say, what are rights and what are freedoms and where do we feel these rights derive from, and what kind of duties do the rights confer on us, and what are the, so if we feel that there is a right to owning guns, then perhaps we need to talk about what are the duties as citizens with respect to owning guns. And the question of owning guns, it also starts to relate to issues about what do we think is a threat to us in our society? What in various places in this country, in various towns, in various different communities, do we feel is a threat and how we respond to it? So a public humanist is a little different from an academic one.
I want to just go down this road for a moment with you and get a get the thoughts from both of you. And beginning with you, Poon, on we think of the humanities. We look at arts and humanities often together in some way.
Yes.
But what you just described, and this is something that we often deal with in what we do in our work with you, of how you avoid being overtly political. Because basically what you're saying is take a step back and look at the broader picture. But whether we're talking about guns or immigration or other huge issues, race, equality,
right,
that it you want to take it to another plane, but yet there's still this simmering pot on the stove.
Well, as every other feminist will tell you, the personal is the political.
Yeah.
So the connection is always there, but the partisan is what we want to stay away
right.
from. Basically, I think what we do is we look at the values in conflict. So in other words, instead of looking at the current application, which we can then circle back to eventually if we want to, but first we start to try to look at the values in conflict. What are my rights? What do I think rights are? And those kinds of things.
Sarah?
Well, and I think what Palerna is getting at is that in a conversation like that, what you start to have in common is the fact that you do have an interpretation of rights, and you can recognize that in the other point of view, that theirs is perhaps equally valid, certainly at a personal level for that. And it does start to build, even if you have different points of view, if it's carefully done, you have a common ground that's being built. It might not be on the particular issue or vote that's coming up, you know, but certainly on the human level, and obviously personal experience is allowed. It's, you know, it's different than maybe a graduate level seminar at a university. You really are meant to draw on your own experience and your own authority, as well as you know, the subject matter at hand. I think it's very difficult for places to dive in if you're not a university and you're not set up that way already. How do you, as a public library, broach this topic and run a discussion? And I think this is where humanities councils have really stepped in to provide frameworks and programs that are set up. So it might be that there's a facilitator and that person is trained, that there is a text to discuss, and that creates a certain safe space to talk about. And finally, that you have a time limit and you have a certain audience that's been publicly invited or brought in a certain way.
So My next question was going to be how you realized that, and you've given a brief example that you usually have a jumping off point, right? You'll take a text or an object or something to use as a jumping off point, so everyone has a baseline and then react to that.
Exactly. And sometimes the text is not what you might expect. The text that we use to broach questions of immigration and American identity works very well with children's books. So in our children's programs, those are some of the themes: freedom, courage, becoming American. And they're very broad, and they work really, really well with a variety of audiences in every region of New York State. So where you have established, all-American, whatever that means, communities, or do you have communities like Queens, which is a immigration hub? So in the same books work in different ways for these audiences, or is it an audience that's trying to bridge those two communities?
Anything you'd like to add to that point?
Well, it's interesting because I do think that one of the things that most of the consuls have in common is that we run some form of children's reading programs in libraries. And they always will broach the larger themes. And so ours is called FAIR, Family Adventures in Readings. We have two syllabi, but largely what they aim to do is introduce children to various cultures, have books that draw upon different traditions, and talk about storytelling in various parts of the world, or talk about people's experiences in coming to America, so that in those kinds of programs, kids get in touch with both with the experience of relating your own experience, as well as with the experiences of others coming to this country, or the fact that people do come to this country from various places.
Give us an idea in our, we have a few more moments, and as I mentioned, we're starting something new today called Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. So give listeners an idea of what they can expect of what we have in store for them in this segment, and what ultimately we're trying to accomplish given the information we've just given them.
So we have the seven humanities councils of the seven states in the listening area: New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont. I think I've got them all.
Yes, you got them all. They're very good. Quite impressive.
And so we will essentially rotate. We will not rotate according to a strict schedule. So some of the stuff that is coming up is next week, I believe, in Vermont. Sylvia Plum from Vermont is going to be here with Sports Illustrated senior writer Alexander Wolf, talking about Sports Illustrated and changing social mores and movements. And then after that, New Hampshire is going to be here talking about their publication of an English Nepali picture book that is used in their adult literacy program. The Pennsylvania Humanities Council is bringing one of their lecturers. Some of the councils run public lecture programs, bringing one of their lecturers who is talking about the story of black baseball. I will be on myself on May 31st talking about our program, Reading Frederick Douglass, which is a wonderful program we do all around Massachusetts, reading Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech publicly and collectively in various towns. Then I think New York is going to take June in largely, talking about their summer reading programs and the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg and the Gettysburg Address. And then the next one I have is Connecticut. Connecticut is talking about Connecticut at Work. So that there's going to be a real variety of humanities issues coming up. How do magazines that are sort of on the edge when it comes to certain types of social mores, like Sports Illustrated, how do they respond to different social movements, to programs that commemorate historical events?
Yeah, that's a great example because you have Sports Illustrated that has this incredible photography. It talks about all aspects of sports, and yet they have this swimsuit issue, and
whoa. That's a little out of touch, it seems.
Yeah,
right now.
It's really interesting, fascinating stuff. And I guess what we learn from that, Sarah, is that there's that of just how broad all of this is.
That's right. And I think, you know, being able to talk about it is sort of the unifying part and relate it to our lives and our different roles as people and sort of have that object, that safe space of something to talk about together instead of just us and our opinions. The humanities has this trick of reading something or seeing something or hearing someone talk in common.
It's sort of like a round table, really.
Yes. The ultimate round. I think we talked about it in one of our early discussions. Yeah. That basically, what we're trying to do the same thing of get people on, at some point to discuss these very important issues. When you think about the events that you've held respectively in your councils, and again, we've worked together for a long time. It's interesting of how deep and how emotional they get with people and how they resonate with people. And I assume that's what kind of keeps you going as far as moving these projects forward.
It's not that unusual to have somebody come out of a council-led discussion program to say, you know, that changed my idea of my career, or even that discussion saved my life. It's not actually that unusual.
And that's what we're after. We're right. After people saying, oh, I'd never thought about it like that.
Right.
Maybe I should think about it some more and maybe talk about it with some others.
And begin those conversations in the community. I want to go back real quick in our final moment to talk about something that Sarah mentioned, and that is facilitators and these wonderful people who come in and start these conversations. And we've had several in here who have come in, and they always blow me away because they are so adept at being able to look at the many facets of an issue and get people talking.
Right. Their personality and their ability in these discussion groups is somewhere between an air traffic controller and a crisis mediator and the best scholar that you ever saw in your college experience and best lecturer. But they really have to make space to listen and to control, in a way, shape the conversation of the group, because it really is not about controlling it. And that at best, they're filling a role that a lot of people miss in their own book discussion groups at home, the ones that the neighborhood runs or that your family and friends run, where they say, gee, I wish there was a traffic cop sometimes. I feel like we should stay on subject. And literally just staying on subject is part of the role.
Well, it is going to be a wonderful series, and we're so excited to kick it off today. Again, it's called Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. And the one question I meant to ask, do we have a website to direct people to yet? I don't think we do.
No, we don't. Right now, everything is going to be on your website.
Okay, so come to wamc.org and go to the roundtable page, and we will have all the links for the various humanities councils. And you can find out more right now about New York and Massachusetts, and of course, what will be coming up throughout the coming weeks. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
No, next week.
Next week, that's right. We kick off next week and then 2 weeks after that.
That's right.
That's right. That's right, because I was away last week. Now I got it. And so next week we welcome?
Oh, my. The next week we welcome Vermont.
Excellent. State of Vermont will be here. That's in the right. House. Nice. Sarah Auger and Plune Boresius, I thank you so much for being with us. It's just a pleasure to partner with you, and I thank you so much for taking the time and trekking out here to be with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Joe. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.